Blog Talk Radio.
Have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your teacher and host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to all of my brothers and sisters. I'm so glad you tuned in to this broadcast of Watchmen on the Wall. And once again, every other Saturday, we have a interesting study for you to listen to, a study that no doubt will bless your heart and will encourage you to trust in prayer, to put your confidence in the instrument that God has given us to resolve all issues. Listen, you can either throw prayer at problems or you can throw money at problems. If you have a child on drugs, try throwing money at that problem, and you will find that that problem will be a money pit. If you throw prayer at that problem, I can assure you God, the God we were just singing to, the God we were attributing glory to, the God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to the King of Kings. If we can just praise and pray, King of Glory, I can assure you that your problems will go away. You know, if you're in need of a job, are you in need of a job? Well, I can tell you what you're going to hear in the church today if you're in need of a job. What you will hear most likely in the church today is to get on some line and sow into somebody's ministry if you want a job. I would say, and listen, folks, I don't mean to harp on this, but you and I know that today in the church, if you got any problem, the word out in the street, the word out in the church, the word out in the pew is throw money at it. Throw money at your problem. You need a job? Sow a seed. Marilyn Hickey used to say, have a need? Sow a seed. But you know what the Bible says? If you're in need of a job, just ask. And you know who you should hook up? God. You should ask God. God is the one you ought to be asking the job for. He said, ask and you shall receive. He never said to sow. So when we come together on Saturdays, we're talking about prayer and how God does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now, the reason why I keep bringing this thing up about you throwing money, good money, you're throwing good money into a bad situation is because situations are never solved with money. You know, we used to have a president. His name was Lyndon Baines Johnson. And Lyndon Baines Johnson wanted to create the Great Society. You know what he did? He was a Democrat. And he was the president. He was the vice president when President Kennedy was killed. And Johnson wanted to produce the Great Society. And you know what he began to do to get rid of America's poverty problems, which were serious? They began to give people money. And that's where a lot of these entitlement and social programs started. But, you know, even though it helped people at the time, and I'm not saying it didn't help people, it never solved poverty. We're poorer today. In fact, we are 19. Forget about in those days, people were poor. There were some people. Now the whole nation is poor. You know why the whole nation? Because we're 19 trillion dollars in debt. All we had to do was pray. Pray for a revival. And those that had would have shared with those who didn't have. And you're saying, but Radio Shepherd, that's just so simplistic. But that's the way the Bible is. It's just so simple. The Bible is just so simple. Yes, I know it's simplistic. But you see, we need to turn to him who does. Excuse me. We need to turn to him who does exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. Now, if you have car problems, don't pray. Let's say your transmission went in your car. Don't pray. You know what you need to do in that case? In that case, put a new transmission. Then in that situation, you're going to have to use money to solve the problem. That is not a problem that is solved by prayer. That's a problem that's solved by you buying a new transmission. Now, if you go to church and some preacher tells you that you can get your kids off of drugs by sowing seed into his ministry, run. It's a lie. In that situation, you pray. Pray to him whom said, "He who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed." You want your child set free from drugs? Turn to Jesus. Turn to him who specializes in the impossible. So I say to you, saints, today, we are once again coming together to focus on this theme. And what is the theme is that we ought to pray to him who gives us exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. And we've been doing this study now for quite some time out of the book of 1 Samuel. And we're still in 1 Samuel. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and we're still looking at this theme. Because the whole book of Samuel is about how God got a nation out of trouble, how God got the church out of trouble because of prayer. You want to get out of trouble? Pray. You want to solve a situation? Pray. Now, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and listen to the preachers of today, and you can follow their prescription. You can follow their antidote. You can follow their remedy. But I can assure you that if you do it their way, you're going to be throwing good money at an impossible situation. God never said that if you gave him money, and by the way, you're not giving it to God, you're giving it to the preacher. The preacher may be telling you you're giving it to God, but God ain't seeing a penny of it. Trust me when I tell you, you give a preacher $1,000, you're giving it to the Lord. No, you're not. You're giving it to him, because the Lord is never going to see $1 out of those thousand. No, the Lord is not, unless the preacher has become the Lord. Then of course, the Lord is seeing $1,000. What we're talking about here is something far more serious. You see, God has given us prayer, the instrument, the tool that God has given his children is prayer. Ask, you shall receive. Seek him out in prayer, you shall find. Knock on the door by means of prayer, and it shall be open unto you. It doesn't say for every bishop. No. It's for everyone who would dare to believe God and trust God to do the impossible. To every one of us who believes that he can do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think, the door shall be open. To everyone that asketh, receive it. To everyone that seeketh, shall find it. And to everyone that knocketh on the door, it shall be open unto him. Now, we've been going through this study in 1 Samuel, and we've been seeing everything God is giving his people by means of prayer. One of the things that we desperately need today in church, only going to come by us praying, is for God to clean his house. We need for God to come in and clean house. You know that if you try to get your Eli out, if you try to get your Eli and his sons out, you know that there's going to be a nasty war in your church. You just know it. You try to take Eli, you try taking out your corrupt pastor, his wife, and their children. You try taking them out. You try telling your pastor, you're not leaving this church to your son. You try telling your pastor, and you're going to see a holy war. You're going to see that. But yet you know that in order for the church to go forward, these people have got to go. You know it, and I know it. So how do we get them to go? How does one clean house? Well, the way one cleans house, the house being the church, being the house of worship, the way one cleans house is by calling upon God to show up and letting God clean house. You can strategize all you want. You can meet behind closed doors and plan how you're going to get rid of your pastor and how you're going to get the church back into the hand. You can plan it all you want, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't let God do it, and the way you let God do it is by you get God involved by means of prayer. If you don't let God do it, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. Now, you know how it's impossible to get rid of a corrupt pastor today. It's just impossible. It's impossible not only to get rid of him, but get rid of his wife. Not just him and his wife, but it's impossible to get rid of him, his wife, and his children. It's impossible. So what might be impossible for you and for your brothers and sisters in Christ, it is easy for God. And this is why we have got to pray. We're at the point in our story in 1 Samuel where God is about to clean house, where God has already prophesied. God, listen, folks. God prophesied that he was going to clean house in 1 Samuel chapter 2. God sent another prophecy that he was going to clean house in chapter 3. And many years have passed since chapter 2 and since chapter 3, since those two prophetic words were issued, since those two prophetic words were delivered, a great amount of time has passed. And yet, Eli and his sons are still there. God has already delivered the prophetic word. God has already made the promise to clean house. But yet, the house hasn't been cleaned. So what are we to do? Promises. God, remember you said this? Remember you said that you would free us of Eli and his sons? Remember how you said you would clean house and you would remove Eli's two sons who are defiling the women and not just bedding the women, but they are bedding them in your house. Remember, Eli's sons were scoundrels. The Bible calls them sons of Belial, sons of the devil. They were having sex with women inside the tabernacle, inside the confines of the tabernacle, inside tabernacle grounds. They had no respect for God or for man or for themselves. They were skimming off the offerings, and the father was turning the blind eye and getting fat off of his son's stealing. And God has sent two prophetic words that he was going to clean house. And trust you me, the people were so turned off, because the book of Samuel tells us, people were turned off, and people didn't want to give anymore. And God had promised to clean house. But up to this point, the house was getting dirtier and dirtier. So what are we to pray today, saints? What are we to pray? If you're in a tough situation, if you're in a situation, like I just said, where the house of worship that you go to is a cesspool of sin, and you and your brothers and sisters are yearning for God to clean house, and nothing's happened, what should you do? Pray. Praying. Because remember, we are calling upon God. And it is He who does exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. Pray. Don't go into warfare mode. And by warfare, I don't mean meet in some house and plot how you're going to get rid of them. You're not going to be able to get rid of them. They are too strong for you. I've seen that kind of scenario played out 100 times. And those who try to clean house on their own without God wind up losing everything. It's time for you to get involved. And the way you can get involved is by getting God involved. Haven't you heard the scriptures that it is the Lord who fights our battles? What are you doing fighting the battle? Let God fight the battle. And the way you get God to fight the battle is you get God to show up. They're going to mess with you. They're going to take you and throw you on the ground. But they're not going to do that to the Lord. Remember that it is God's house. It's not your house. It may be your house of worship, but it's God's house. Don't you think God wants His house clean? Don't you think God wants His house clean? Of course God wants His house to be clean. He wants it to be clean more than you do. But He always waits to see if we would pray. And once we pray, then we're really activating God. You know, the preacher says, so as soon as you put the seed in the ground, you activate God. Yeah, it's always about money. It's always about money with these clowns. The way you activate God is by prayer. That's how you activate Him. You call upon Him in the day of trouble. Now, in Jesus' day, Jesus had the same problem. Jesus encountered the same problem. I'll read to you out of Matthew 21. Let me read to you. It says in Matthew 21, beginning at verse 12. Matthew 21, and He went into the temple of God, and He cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and of the seat of them that sold doves. And He said unto them, it is written in the word, in the Bible. More specifically, it is written in Isaiah 56:7 and in Jeremiah 7:11. It is written, My house will be called a house of prayer. Now, Jesus said, My house is not to be called a hotel, like Eli's sons had turned God's house into a motel so that they could meet women. But God's house is not to be the preacher's motel, but it's to be a house of prayer. And Jesus went on to say, but you have turned it into a den of what? Of thieves. So, how did Jesus clean house? Well, He said, the way you clean house is to use God's house as what? A house of prayer. If you turn it into a house of prayer, it will be cleaned. Because right now it's dirty. Because it's a den of thieves. It's a den of thieves. So my brothers and sisters, you and I are not Jesus. You and I cannot take a strap and show up on Sunday and start whipping these people. You and I, now remember, Jesus is God. Who cleaned up his house? God did. God in the flesh. God manifested in the flesh. So if you want to clean God's house, God involved. And the way you get him involved is to pray. That's how we get him involved. It is to pray. Let me play this hymn, and right after this hymn, I'll be right back. Listen, God reigns. It may seem like Eli and his sons are reigning. It may seem that way. But really, our God reigns. And when you rejoice and when you pray, he shows up. And that's what you have to bank on, that God will show, and he always does. Because God is more interested in cleaning his house than you are, than I am. So let's get him involved. Stop plotting, stop organizing. If you want to organize anything, organize a prayer meeting. And say, God, you clean house. Because when you show up and you clean house, you get all the dirt out. I may clean house, and my brothers and sisters may want to clean house, and we may attempt to do it, but we may not get all of the dirt. No one can clean house like the Lord can. Do not take matters into your hands. Do not clean house. Get him involved. And when he gets involved, then he'll get you involved, and then there will be a clean sweep. But you got to get him involved. And, you know, Hannah prayed for a child, and the Lord gave her Samuel. But, you know, when she prayed, he who does exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, she thought she was just getting a man-child, and God gave her a man-child for her, but God was giving himself also a present in Samuel. God was giving to himself a prophet who would pray that God would clean house. So let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And let's see what the Bible says here in this chapter as to how God cleaned house. 1 Samuel chapter 4, beginning at verse 1 and going all the way to verse number 19. Verse number 18. 1 Samuel 1, chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. Let us read.
And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said,
What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?
And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said,
God is come into the camp.
And they said,
Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight!
And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day, with his clothes rent, and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said,
What meaneth the noise of this tumult?
And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli,
I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army.
And he said,
What is there done, my son?
And the messenger answered and said,
Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken.
And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years.
There you have it. And there is 1 Samuel chapter 4, God fulfilling his word that he would clean house. Now, if you read this chapter, you tend to think that it was a great day of defeat for Israel, for they lost a lot of men in battle. But if you read it correctly, it was a great day of victory. Why? Because God used the enemy, God used the Philistines to clean house. You see, you thought he was going to use you to clean house, and God used the Philistines to clean house. The Philistines wiped out Hophni, Phinehas, and when Eli got the news, he fell backwards because he was so fat, broke his neck. You see, in one day, God used outside forces. You see what the Bible says, that he does exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. You see, you can't even imagine. You couldn't even imagine. You couldn't even, in your wildest dreams, you could not even imagine that God was going to use your enemy, the Philistines, to come in. He was going to use them to mop up and clean up his house. But he did. God used the Philistines to get rid of Eli's two sons and, in essence, get rid of Eli. Samuel, did Samuel get dirty? No. Samuel was not involved. God did not use Samuel to go on a holy crusade. Samuel was simply praying, no doubt, the prophetic word that God, because he was the second messenger. He was the second person God used to tell Eli, God's going to clean house. And when he cleans house, you and your sons are gone. And God used Samuel as a boy to bring that message. Now Samuel is a man, a grown man. Because we're told in chapter 4, verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Samuel was already a prophet. And he could have organized a revolt against Eli and his sons. But you know what God said? He said, no, you gave me this assignment. Samuel, you've been praying for me to clean house. And I'm sending someone to clean house. And it's the Philistines. See, God's people didn't even have to get involved. God used outside forces to come in and clean his house out. And that's what I'm saying to you, saints. We know God's house needs a good house cleaning. We know that. But let us turn to him. Let us turn to the Lord, who knows how to clean house. Nobody knows better how to clean house than God. Nobody. And for you and I to think that we can clean house better than God is to be arrogant. Now, we know what the need is. What's the need? What is the need? Well, we cannot worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness as long as Hophni and Phinehas are messing with the women in church. We can't worship God in the beauty of holiness as long as every time an offering's collected, Hophni and Phinehas are sticking their hands in the offering. They are polluting the offering. They're polluting our young ladies. So what do? Pray. Pray. But Radio Shepherd, don't you think we should take action? Yes, the action is prayer. Just pray. Because, again, you can try to clean house, and I can assure you, after you get done, there'll be a greater mess. Get God involved. Let God have the assignment. And I can assure you, when he cleans house, because he will clean house. And when he does, there will not be any dirt left over. All of the dirt that needed to go will be gone. So let us pray. I'm sure your church is a pigsty. I'm sure your church has become one big mess. And as you sit there and you look and you say, boy, this guy and his family, they're entrenched. They own this place. They have hijacked this place, and they've made it their own. Just like when Jesus went into the temple. Jesus went into the temple and reminded them that this was not their house, but it was God's house. For God said, my house shall be a house of prayer. But you thought it was your house, and you took liberties with my house, and you remodeled it and turned it into a den of thieves. No one can clean house like God can. So let's involve him in prayer, and you'll see that if we involve him in prayer, he will do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think, because nobody who was praying for God to get rid of Eli thought that God was going to use the Philistines to clean house. But he did. Because God has a better way of doing it than you and I can ever imagine. And so let's trust the Lord in prayer. Let's involve him. Let's activate him. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. Let's call on God. Let's tell him. Let's tell him what Eli and his boys are doing. Let's tell God what they're doing with the women. Let's tell God what they're doing with the offering. Let's tell God what they're doing to the church. Let's get God involved. And you'll see that in due season, when the time is right, when everything is properly aligned, God will show up to clean house. And when he does, there will be no doubt that he removed all the dirt that needed to be removed. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I will be back next week. We're still going to be in 1 Samuel because there's some things here in 1 Samuel that need to be said, which will be of a great blessing and benefit to us. Until next Saturday, I love you in Jesus. Stay on the wall. Keep watching. Keep praying. Keep trusting. And join me in praying out all the Eli's and all his sons that need to be kicked out. I love you in the Lord. God bless.
Let's make some declarations together here tonight. Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
To the left.
You take me to the left.